Hi everyone, it's Josh here. Just wanted to let you know that the Crit Awards are coming up. They are awards for tabletop role-playing games, but also for actual plays. And it's peer nominated, which means that you as listeners to Black Armada Tales can nominate us if you'd like to. The awards are hosted on critawards.org, that's C-R-I-T awards.org. And there's lots more detail in our show notes, including a list of categories you can nominate in, the links to the nomination form, and which of the series we've put out are currently eligible. The deadline for nominations is the 31st of May. If you go through to that website, you will notice there's a date there about February 2024. That is the deadline for the content you're nominating to have been produced, not for your nomination. So don't get confused by that. The nomination period covers the whole of 2023 and parts of 2024, which means that our shows that are eligible include Last Fleet, Lovecraft Desk, and Gladiators 2050. We would really appreciate it if you nominated us for an award. There's a wide range of different categories. So whether you think that we've done an individual series that's really great, or would like to nominate one of our players or one of our characters, there's lots of options for you, and you can find more details of that in the show notes. Thanks very much for your support, and on with the show.
Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Ed Tomlinson, and I will be your facilitator for Escape from Tentacle Garden City by Willow Polacek. And tonight, with me are...
My name is Becky Anderson. My pronouns are she and her, and I will be looking after the Neighbourhood Watch group tonight.
My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him, the same as Ed's. And I will be... doing stuff involving the Women's Institute, the best group.
That doesn't sound weird at all.
In a wholesome way. Possibly not, actually, come to think of it.
That's all in your mind, Nick. I'm sure our listeners are much more grown up than you are.
He means crochet.
On that note, my name is Nick Bate. My pronouns are also he and him. I'm going to be being really gentle on the underage skate kids tonight, treating them kindly, making sure they get home in time for dinner.
Giving them sweets. Just leave it at that.
My name is Sue Elliott. My pronouns are she and her, and I will be in charge of the community theatre tonight.
Who's next? Is it the WI?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, yeah, we're doing clockwise, aren't we? Sorry. Okay. You went to the cafe, didn't you?
Yep, to get out of the rain of tentacles.
Mm. Right. And the threat level, the global threat level is now...
Two.
Which is also the local threat level. Okay.
You know, I don't think very much of their scones in here. They're always stale.
Yes. And their Eccles cakes are rubbish.
Very light.
Rubbish.
On currants, in my opinion.
But then why did we come here? Whose idea was this?
We always come here.
The weather was bad. What else are we supposed to do? Joan looks out the window.
It's the tentacle rain is easing off now. There's quite a lot on the ground.
Well, we're in here now. It'd be rude not to get something to eat and drink.
Yes, the waitress comes over and says, Can I get you something? Tea, coffee, cake? And she licks her lips in a slightly disturbing way. Her tongue seems a little longer than it should be.
Who's who? Who's got the emergency poncho?
Peggy.
You're Peggy.
You don't recognise this waitress, by the way, so it must be a sob.
Well, I would say, yes, I would like a coffee, a white coffee, no latte business, no froth, no foam, just a plain white coffee. So that's black coffee that you put some milk into. And I would like a scone, but I want you to get one of the ones in the Tupperware out the back that I know that you cooked this morning. Not the ones that have been out on the counter all afternoon, getting stale, getting covered in germs. One from out the back. From the airtight tin.
Same for me, except I don't want the scone.
I can split it with you if you like, Mavis. I probably won't eat more than the half anyway. You know me, my appetite's very small.
Oh, thank you. I'm watching my figure.
Well, we're all watching it.
The waitress holds Geraldine's gaze, like, throughout her little speech, totally unmoving except for the fact that her tongue periodically gets sort of comes out.
Yeah, but we're probably used to seeing that with people with no teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it might seem perfectly normal.
It's probably just standard.
It just seems a little longer, though. But anyway, she says, two coffees, one scone. Anybody else?
Oh, yes, and I would like a pot of tea, please. But can I have also an extra pot of hot water? And can I have extra milk as well? Because I do like it quite milky. And I don't think I'll have a scone today. I think if you have a fruitcake, then I'll have a slice of fruitcake. If you don't have fruitcake, then I'll have a lemon drizzle cake. If you don't have lemon drizzle cake, I'll have Victoria sponge. Thank you.
They don't put real cream in it, you know, dear.
Oh, well, in that case, if you don't have the fruitcake and you don't have the lemon drizzle cake, then I'll have a scone as well, I think.
Joan! Joan, dear! Joan, we're ordering drinks! Joan!
Tea, mug, two sugars, ashtray.
The waitress has got, like, she's just been working her way through pages of her notepad, writing down every word that you say, it would appear. Holding the gaze of the person who's talking and periodically tonguing the air. And then she recites back everything that you just said, which I cannot do. I'd love to. It would be a brilliant thing.
That'd be amazing if you could.
I'll do that. Yeah, I'm simply not that good. So, I feel like you've practically have to roll chilling now, don't you? Or have you got something else you want to do?
No, I'm happy to roll chilling.
Yeah.
I think the waitress goes into the back room to look for your scone.
I think Mavis just pulls out the her bottle of gin from her handbag and just puts it on the table, waiting to add it to the coffee when it arrives.
Joan gives you a wink and lights up a fag.
I'm going to get some knitting out.
I think she's got woodbines as well. Nobody can find woodbines for love nor money, but Joan always has woodbines. Like, she bought them in 1960 and has got about 1,000 million of them.
They're still good. I'm not spending any stress. I'm going to add one for my my bottle of gin, though.
Nice.
I'm not spending any stress, and I don't think I can use my items, so I'm just going to roll one straight dice.
What items have I got, actually?
I'd like to point out that I'm going to get 6 dice here, so...
Well, that's as maybe, but I can't claim that my sewing kit is going to help me chill. Or can I?
I'm just going to spend a stress, I think, for an extra dice. Why not?
I think I'm going to as well.
Because if we successfully chill out, we'd lose that stress, right? Presumably.
That's a good point. Okay, I'll spend a stress as well.
Yeah, it's complete madness, isn't it? When you're chilling, but then you're just treading water, aren't you, if you do that? But at least you're not dead.
Roll 2d6, yeah.
Oh, boy. 8. Okay, this is... You are odds on to lose this, but let's see.
Lordy, Nick, I thought you were rolling analog dice.
I've joined in because everybody's doing it online. So.
Yeah, but now you've rolled absolute trash.
Yeah.
You wasn't rolling particularly well before.
Rolling better than Sue was. Now he's rolling precisely as well as Sue was.
It looks to me like you've rolled 20 and I've rolled 23. Is that maths?
No, I don't think that can possibly be right.
So that doesn't mean we die. That's good.
You don't die, but the threat level goes up.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I would like to describe something to represent the threat level going up. So that it's not just a total whiff.
Yeah, just increases by 1. But I don't think we chill out. So we still... No. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe in that case I will just say that the waitress does not return. She goes out the back and does not return. Scene then, I guess.
Nice, yeah. I liked the creepy waitress. That was cool.
I can see how this escalates quickly.
Still no ashtray. I mean, Joan's just going to have to flick her ash all over the floor like normal. And on the hair of youthful people around. She likes to
there's,
do.
There's probably a few cigarette burns on the floor from
Joan previous Joan business. Encounters, yeah. In fact, she's probably got a seat. There's a corner where the linoleum, is it linoleum, is all got fag burns around where she...
Funnily enough, I was imagining linoleum, yeah. Right, that's that. Neighbourhood Watch.
Neighbourhood Watch. Now, I think that we had just left you having taken back the streets, hadn't we?
If by streets you mean my shed.
The shed.
Yeah.
Your shed. And everyone had so far survived.
Where are we?
So you're still at Wes's house.
Well, yeah, but not in his... Well, it should be probably Wes's house, really, because we'd have to create a little side location called Wes's Garden, otherwise.
Wes's property?
Yeah.
The Wes shed.
So,
remind me what it was we saw in the shed, because I feel like this is going to...
Do you really want me to remind you?
Was it just tentacles?
Bad stuff.
Just some tentacles?
It was like a... big tentacle bumhole, I think, that was firing.
That's right, and it shot out some goo from its
sphincter. Shot out lots and lots of little baby tentacles.
Baby tentacles.
It was like a tentacle
and
cloaca,
goo.
Really.
Yeah,
wasn't
it was like
it?
A tentacle yeah. cloaca.
And did we just shot it inside the shed, or did we actually destroy it?
I'm not sure. I think you just shot it inside the shed, didn't you?
Well, I definitely went after it with vinegar
and salt. Somebody treating it like slugs, I seem to recall, which I was quite in favour of.
It was a fire extinguisher too.
So I guess it was contained, wasn't it? It was contained at this point. So
the next thing that's going to happen is that, Wes, you strike me as the sort of man who has something tuned to a police radio.
Oh, sure. I've got a police scanner in the front room.
Not the shed. Please don't say the shed.
That's not the shed. No, it's in my living room. It's with my computer and all my security cameras and all the rest of it.
Yeah, that's what I was imagining. And I think that security scanner just kind of suddenly pings alive with quite a lot of chatter. You shouldn't, in theory, be able to hear it from the garden, but maybe, in everybody's haste to get out here, they've only gone and left all the doors open. The hot air, you know, the warmth in the house is just pouring out. You're paying to heat the street, Wes. You're paying to heat the street. That's the real horror.
Well, I don't have time to worry about that right now. Shit is going down. And I think Wes will say that, in fact, because he's just heard the scanner crackle alive. And I think he says, "All right, everyone. Serious shit must be going down. You can hear that radio in there. Whatever it is that's in my shed. We trained for this. Everyone back to the living room."
Oh, good. I could do with a cup of tea.
What's going on? What was that in the shed?
I think over the radio you're going to hear reports that the Tentacle Garden City and your medieval fate has been absolutely decimated by an attack of what the police are describing as tentacular appendages.
The police described it in that exact way.
The tentacular appendages proceeded on foot to the...
I feel like somebody's embellished that. I don't feel that the police would have actually said that.
No, that's fair. So, Ed, tell me how the police did describe the tentacles that rained down on the medieval fate.
Purple squiggly critters.
Yeah, that's fair.
Of unknown origin.
Critters?
But I think there's a second police person who comes on the radio and says, "Sarge, it's like a rain of tentacular appendages."
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. But yeah, whatever that officer
says. So Wes, you're hearing all of this. And so are the rest of you.
Simon, you just said, what was that in the shed? Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't fucking know, Simon. You're the one who got closest to it. What do you think it was?
I think it's some kind of bioweapon or something. I don't know. It's. I think Simon's just sort of holding his face, touching his wounds and kind of flinching a little bit.
And Brian's putting newspaper down on the sofa.
But it's your shed, Wes. Is that some sort of pest control you've got in there? One of those fancy bio things? I've told you that they're no good.
You're Karen, right? Yeah. Listen, Karen, you can hear that police scanner as well as I can. Something's happening.
Yeah, well, I didn't really understand everything they said.
Well, I didn't either, but it sounded bad, and you saw what happened to Simon. I think it's obvious what we have to do now. We need to gear up. We need to be ready.
Brian goes...
We need to burn that fucking shed down as well.
Hey, that's my shed.
It's not your shed anymore, mate. It's not your shed.
Nobody's opening that shed. Not until we got a pest control person in.
I built it. It'll stand. Don't you worry about that. I put extra long screws in that.
I don't want any more of those little things getting out into my garden, so we're not opening that shed.
Fine, Karen, we'll keep it locked. Is it locked, Brian?
It will be in a minute. He pulls out a piece of wood from who knows where. And strolls out into the garden.
Good. Brian's on it, but you can hear the police scanner. It's all going to hell. We've trained for this moment.
Yeah, I think now is probably the point at which you hear over the police scanner, in addition to the medieval garden city, you're probably hearing that medieval garden, no, the tentacle city medieval fate, that there's another incident reported at later skaters, a bunch of kids claiming that tentacles were coming up out of the half pipe, and they're off to investigate it.
We need to gear up. We need to army surplus store. They'll have stuff. Can't go in the shed. That's where I keep all my equipment.
Oh, that was a tactical error, Wes. You'll know for next time. You've got to have multiple weapons caches.
Brian, are you done? Can we go?
Just one more piece of wood. Hang on a minute.
Oh, come on, Brian. We've got to go.
If a job's worth doing, it's worth doing well, my friend.
Simon just punches the wall.
Wes, you're right. We should go to the army surplus store, but let's not go in a hurry. We can make some sandwiches. A nice thermos of tea. We don't want to get hungry.
Karen, the world is ending. Can't you hear the police scanner?
Oh, you wouldn't want the world to end and you'd be on an empty stomach, would you?
Look, just grab the biscuits, all right?
I don't want any complaining from you after if we get to the army surplus store and you realise that you've got the munchies.
They sell expired rations at the army surplus store, don't they?
Who said that?
Your inner monologue.
Brian's starting to carve do not enter into the piece of wood on the shed while he's waiting for decisions to be made.
Right, fuck it. I'm going. Simon, are you with me?
Let's go. Let's go now. We can get sandwiches later if we're peckish, but we've got to go now.
I am a bit peckish, so...
All right, well, you there stay you go, here see? With Karen and help with the sandwiches. Oh my God.
He brushes his hair back.
Simon, I think Karen puts her hands on you again and says, Simon, calm down. It's all right, dear. You know, you're probably having a bit of a blood sugar crash. Here, have a muesli bar.
He tears the wrapper off the muesli bar and he's furious that it does actually calm him down a little bit.
Brian's a little bit disappointed that he didn't get a muesli bar.
Should we skip the role-playing and just say at some point we eventually end up going to the army surplus store?
Is that what we're doing, though?
I think you've got to do a travelling role.
I think it's a travelling role.
Yeah.
I think depending on what we roll, either Wes wins this argument or Karen does.
Yeah, 100%. So am I still rolling six? Is that?
Yeah, six. And
because it's just global threat.
Burn a stress.
I'm definitely burning stress.
Karen's going to use her Nissan Qashqai. It's time.
Let's get a stress on there.
Yeah, stress.
Ed, what sort of roll was that?
A very bad one.
So we're on 21, which is exact average for 66.
Has everybody rolled?
66, yeah.
Okay, I'm rolling. I rolled 22.
Oh! Unbelievable.
Nobody had an item or anything that they should have been deploying out there and forgotten to count.
I've got running loafers, but I didn't think I needed it.
Running loafers.
Oh, actually, that reminds me. If you fail a roll, isn't there something about items that you used no longer being...
Only in a tie. In a tie, you can... Hang on a minute. If there's a tie, and the survivors may choose to sacrifice an item to achieve their scene goal. Yeah. So threat level increased by one, but you can achieve your scene goal by losing an item in that situation.
We also have a choice here. So if the tentacles win, we can either be stuck here.
You have to stay where you are. You're sort of beaten back.
There's an option for us. Or we can all spend a point of stress to make it to the location.
Oh.
Goodness.
Is that always an option or just when you're travelling?
Just when you're travelling.
Oh, it's you and your... ability to read rules at low level detail.
That seems like a lot of stress. Four stress just to get to the army surplus.
It's a choice. We have an option.
I mean, I'm quite amused by the idea of the neighbourhood watch never actually leaving Wes's living room. Yeah.
That's, yeah, it works for me.
That is very funny.
Oh, man.
Right, so we raise the local threat level. We're not going to spend stress. Is that the group?
I think so.
Agreement?
Yeah.
So you're staying where you are. Do I narrate how you don't move anywhere? Okay, I'm going to say that you all pile in to Karen's car.
Nissan Qashqai.
Nissan Qashqai.
White.
Takes a little while because you have to fold the pram up, put the baby in the car seat, strap it in, then everybody else piles in around it.
That's right.
Full service history.
When you go to start the ignition, the car makes a strange kind of wet choking sound. And that's when more of these kind of baby tentacles start kind of like boiling out of the bonnet and dropping down through the air con system in the heating system in the car, you know, like just under the glove compartment, and start kind of, at first, just a few of them just start dropping down, and then it's just, as I said, it's like a pot boiling over. And
they're coming out of the air con.
They're coming out of the air con, they're coming out of the heating vents, and they're starting to boil out of the edges.
Well, Karen starts frantically shutting down all of the vents.
Don't worry, Karen. I've got just the tool. And he gets out a giant spoon and heads out.
What?
Is that one of your items?
No, it's part of his tool belt.
I'm not taking your item away, Josh.
No, you definitely aren't. It's now a tentacle-powered Nissan Qashqai.
Once I've scooped out all the tentacles from the engine cavity, it'll be fine.
Brian can fix it, but you won't be going anywhere in it for the foreseeable.
Maybe he's got one of those little Henry Hoovers, like a little tiny one. Like you can get the desk toy version. Maybe he's got one of those.
As well as a full-size one, obviously, because it's the only Hoover worth having.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like a Russian doll Henry Hoover situation.
Are they not like little Hoovers you can use for your keyboard and stuff? Have you not got one of those that goes...
Yeah, well, so you can get a Henry Hoover desk cleaner, which is what I'm talking about. Has anyone got a USB port?
Oh, there's four in the car, love. Just plug it straight in, it's fine.
So, cut to Later Skaters?
Cut to Later Skaters.
Nice. So, we're inside Later Skaters. It's still dark, lit a little bit like a disco, but the music has been turned off, and our three surviving kids... Now, for the record, Alfie was grabbed by a tentacle and dragged down into the tunnel underneath the...
Poor Alfie.
He might be fine. I mean, mechanically speaking, he's not, but he might be fine.
That's true. That's true.
It could be fine. So Daenerys, Harvey, and Felix, you're all lined up, all three of you standing side by side in front of the vert ramp. So just in front of the hole that's been smashed through the wooden vert ramp and the smear of blood going up the vert ramp. And there's a cop standing in front of you with a notebook out, and you can kind of, just through the tinted glass of the window, you can see the flashing light of the police car parked out the front. And there's another police officer sort of poking around the hole, and the police officer standing in front of you says, slow down, one at a time. You. And he points at one of you kids. What happened?
Felix will probably be blubbing and say, well, he fell down. Something got his leg. He came down. He fell down. He went in the hole. He went down there.
Okay, not you. You. What happened?
It was an absolutely massive tentacle. It came out of the hole. It wrapped itself around his leg. He tried fighting it off. We all tried fighting it off. I hit it with my skateboard, but it didn't work. And he just pulled him straight into the hole. Aren't you going to do something about it? You're supposed to be the police. He's down there right now.
Do something about it.
He's going to be late for tea.
Sorry, for clarity, you said a giant tentacle, right?
I did.
Yeah.
All right, not you. You. And he points to the last of you. What happened? And the other cop from over by the vert ramp says, I think this is blood.
That's what we've been saying. We saw this hole, and we went up to the hole, and this just tentacle came out. I fought it off, and then it went for Alfie, and it took Alfie. I was fine because I know how to fight a tentacle, you know, one on one. But Alfie didn't stand a chance, and now he's in the hole. And
Alfie's the dog, right?
Please help, Elfie, please. Felix grabs your leg and wipes a massive snail trail of snot down the inside of your trousers.
Alfie's our other person, and his parents are loaded, by the way, and they're going to be furious.
Probably pay your salary.
You should find him. Exactly, yeah.
The cop points at you, Daenerys, and says, "You shut your mouth. All right, you three. I don't know if this is if this is a gas explosion or what, but why are you even in here? You're not supposed to be in here, right? I'm sure you're not old enough to be in here. Are you in here looting? Listen, I'm gonna call this in. I'm gonna get your parents down here." And he starts walking away and reaching for his radio on his shoulder to call in three delinquents in the skate shop.
We should leave.
I don't want to be here if my parents are here.
The police will take care of Alfie. That's what they're for. We could just go, couldn't we?
Come on, SpongeBob.
Are you going to leg it? Is that the plan?
I think so.
Where are you going to run? You're not going to... There's a hole. You're not going down there, I assume.
No, we're not going... We came in through the back door, though, didn't we? And the police came in through the front door. So we'll just sidle out the back door.
Couple of places you can go from here. You can go to the pub down the street, the Unicorn, or you can go to the Model City.
I don't think it would occur to my character to go to a pub because that's where adults live and I'm not an adult. So that's not a place that's going to be like in my head as a place that I would go to. Mm. But Model City, yeah, sure.
I'm sure we're very familiar with the Crazy Golf.
Yeah, we are.
You've probably tried to skate the Crazy Golf a few times.
Yeah, we have.
All right, so the police officer's radioing in three delinquent children, talking nonsense, gas explosion.
We get to the golf place, and then if our parents ask, we can say that we've been at golf, and it's not a lie then. So...
Yeah, we can say that we were there the whole time.
Yeah.
And they'll believe
which
us.
Which we basically were, yeah. All right, Felix, golf?
And Alfie won't say anything. He wouldn't get us in trouble when the police push him out of the hole.
They told me off last time for SpongeBob did a massive poo on one of the greens.
Aren't you supposed to, like, have bags for that sort of thing?
Yes, that's what they said.
You don't have any bags.
Do you have any bags?
I don't have a dog. I don't need bags, mate.
We'll find some there.
Yeah, there's bound to be other people walking their dogs. I bet they'll give you a bag.
The second cop is climbing down into the hole.
Let's go now while they're distracted.
All right, do you want to roll your dice?
Yeah, I'm going to spend the points just. So I feel like I was on a mistake before. And I'm going to use my skateboard to get away.
Oh, it's worth noting,
for a point.
Nick, did characters, the players of which can play NPCs in the scene.
Yeah, had that gone on any longer, I think I would have given Josh the second cop.
Not to worry. But do also remember, you only roll one dice per active player, so that's going to be...
Yes!
Six
dice for me, yep.
Yeah.
Oh no, we've got a high local threat level. Come on everybody, your best!
Not as high as it's going to be.
Fair point.
I'm definitely going to use my microscooter.
Yeah, I'm using mine, and I'm taking some stress as well.
Oof.
18.
I'm not sure how a young kid with a dog would he have poo bags? I don't know. Maybe kids would have poo bags these days.
Oh, is that a tie?
Yeah, it's a tie.
Oh my god, it's a tie.
Excite.
Quick, what item can we throw under the bus?
Yeah, so I think what happens is you sneak out the back way, right? So you dash out the door that you came in while the cops are busy. You maybe even hear one of the cops just as the door slams shut. Say, all right, you three. And then the door slams shut. And as you're running out the back and jumping on your various skateboards and scooters and all the rest of it, the pavement in the parking lot around the back starts to buckle and and swell upwards. So are you gonna abandon a bit of equipment? Is that?
Yeah, I'll abandon my skateboard.
Okay. I was going to abandon SpongeBob, but we can save that for
We can't
time.
Abandon the freaking dog, Ed.
You do have, like, firecrackers and an air-up water bottle. Surely your skaters
can't.
I know,
but from fictional positioning, abandoning my air up water bottle felt wrong. Maybe you're right, I'll abandon my air up water bottle. It was just a mold risk anyway.
It really is.
I know it is.
If you've got firecrackers, you could use them up trying to scare these things off or something.
I don't have firecrackers. Somebody else does.
I have firecrackers. Who had the lighter, though?
Alfie, probably.
It was probably Alfie.
Yeah, we can use firecrackers. That's cool. Yeah, so I fumble and take out a surprising amount of firecrackers.
like a wizard pulling out handkerchiefs from their sleeve.
Just constant, firecracker bunting. Light it up, fling it towards the tentacle, and I just shout, "Cheese it!" And then just start scooting away.
Nice. Yeah, I think the tentacle bursts through the pavement just as the firecrackers all go off, and so you can kind of, through the flashes and the smoke, you can see this thing writhing around.
Is it like an epic level kaboom? Like more than we were expecting it to be?
I mean, on an underage skate kid's scale, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like a John Woo movie slow motion explosion situation.
You probably get two shots of it, right? One behind you all as you're fleeing on your skateboards and scooters, and it's epically massive. And then
where we go,
the angle, as the cop comes bursting out the back door, and it's a much more modest explosion from the cop's angle.
I love that.
So the local threat level still goes up, right?
Yep.
Oh, I see. So by sacrificing the item, you've succeeded the action, but not prevented the threat level going up.
Yeah, so we've let the threat level go up in the place, because we're travelling, we've left it, so it does help in this instance.
Sort of, that's like now one route that no one's going to want to use.
Yeah.
Are we doing another scene?
Yeah, let's try and squeeze one in.
Okay.
Quick.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, that was a brilliant rehearsal, and such a shame about the having to break to deal with whatever that squiggly thing was.
Show must go on though, right, Dennis?
That's exactly the attitude that I like from you, Xanthi, and a brilliant monologue, Elise. Excellent dying, Hunter.
Hunter lurches upright from exactly the same spot he was in before and straightens his hair.
I think it's time for us to have a celebratory drink at the pub, don't you?
Yes.
5 minutes only, so yeah. Ah, the pub. Hunter, I think you owe me a drink. She pouts.
I think you might be right, Elise. And he holds out his arm so that you can slide yours through it.
Yes. How is your bottom?
I can give everybody a lift to the pub, but obviously I won't be able to give you a lift back from the pub.
Why not?
Well, because I'll be going to bed in my van so that I don't have to worry about driving home drunk from the pub.
You can just skip the drinks.
What? But we're going for a celebratory drink.
Sure. And we'll get a couple of rounds in, then you can run us home.
It does seem reasonable to me as well. Good call, Hunter. Good call.
Makes everything much easier.
Hang on. Hang on. What's happening here?
Not to worry, Xanthi. We'll resolve this when we get there. This is a very simple situation to resolve, but I don't see any reason to do it here. Let's sort it out at the Unicorn.
Dennis, never mind this detail. I just want to talk to you about my monologue. So you are quite happy that it's in there. You like it?
I loved it.
Oh, dear.
Hunter, you have incredible taste.
It's very improvised, dear. There's no need to pin it down like that.
So Marie is at the front door, holding the door open for everyone.
Who's Marie?
Marie's my NPC.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you had one.
You got a loved one.
Quietly existing in the background.
And she says, oh, she looks out at the car park and she says, Xanthi, you haven't got room. I was going to take my car. You haven't got room for one more in yours, have you? And she gestures to the car park where her car is being very efficiently crushed by a tentacle that has burst out of the ground.
Yes, let's all take my van.
That's very unexpected. Did anyone have anything in the paper about that?
It's very realistic, isn't it? Very realistic.
Is that going to be part of the play? Dennis, you are.
You should take a photograph of it and put it on your Instagram, Elise.
I already have.
The hunter's in the background of the photo doing the peace sign.
Should we roll some dice? Roll some
dice. Have we got anything to do to make this more likely to succeed?
Well, I'm going to take a point for my van.
Seems reasonable.
So I can use Marie like an item, but I don't see how she's relevant in this case unless holding the door open counts as... So I'll just burn a point of stress, I think.
Yeah, it's just stress, I think. Elise, as planned, has got completely useless object items.
Oh, and Dennis will be bringing his director's chair to the pub, by the way. He always sits in his director's chair.
Love it.
Wherever he goes. Oh, God, I'm running like shit.
Yeah, I burnt a point of stress and wish I hadn't. I got a 3.
Well, I burnt a point of stress last time. I got 2 ones.
Yeah, 2?
Yeah, that's true.
Mind you, if I hadn't have done that, it could have been bad.
So we've got 21 again, which again is the exact average for 66.
And I'm rolling 66, correct?
66 D6.
Oh. 23.
Is that over 5?
No.
We lose again.
Shit.
We don't die.
You don't die.
I don't, don't we?
Well, it's 21 to 23.
No. Oh, 21, yeah. Okay, fine. So we could lose an item to get to the other location or not.
I thought that was only on a tie.
Yeah, I thought it was only a tie.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
We can spend a point of stress to go to all of us can.
That's right. It's because Nick's come up with this extra rule that he's found in the appendices, Appendix N, that I wasn't expecting to throw me.
So here's the thing. The local threat level, it says 1 here. I assume that's...
I just put that on.
If we don't move, then next turn we're going to have to burn stress to get out of here. Because it'll be up to 4.
What happens if you max out your stress? You just have no stress to spend and you might die if...
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
You explode.
You explode from stress.
You know what? I know that this isn't particularly gamist, but I really want to see the community theatre at the pub. I would be prepared to burn the stress just to see what this lot are like, half cut at the bar.
It'd be nice to see another location too.
Yeah, and that.
But it's a lot of stress, Jesus Christ.
It is a lot of stress.
You mean have a pint of beer and wait for the whole thing to blow over?
I do mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say we do it.
I vote yes.
We'll be prime opportunity to chill and potentially get the stress back
Let's
down.
Let's do it. Let's all do it. Come on, Ed, you know you want to.
Yeah, I've already approved mine.
Do we all have to agree?
Well, I think so.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's a group decision.
Yeah, well, it's not a good decision, really, is it? But we should still do it.
You know everyone's going to die, pretty much.
Yeah, that's the point of the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
is it... I'm guessing it's a pretty stressful getaway in Xanthi's... Why?
If you'll remember, when I described this van, I described it as a van life van, which she had absolutely gone over the weight limit for the chassis on.
Oh, that's right. It's made of it's oak. Like,
so far over the weight limit. And I think there's a really hairy point where she takes a turn a little bit too fast and too sharp.
Does she rev off and then sparks come out the back of the car, which is just the weight of the chassis just on the wheel and brakes?
Yes, but also when she goes around a bend that's a little bit too sharp with this many people in it and being already over the weight limit, it's like it really does kind of start to lean onto only 2 wheels and then wobbles before kind of crashing back down quite heavily onto the ground and then... carrying on.
I have a strong feeling that there are not lots of seatbelts in the back.
No, there's like a bed. There is a small... There's some like storage along the sides and some mugs hanging from mug hooks.
There's probably one of those portaloos that's sloshing around in there as well.
There's definitely a portaloo, which is like tucked under the bed. And then... Mm-hmm.
It's probably too much macrame in there as well.
Oh, there's a lot of macrame. And there's probably like some kind of... Live, love, pray. Word art.
Yeah, there's reed diffusers. Just
all of which is just getting thrown around in our faces.
Yeah, but that's like normal.
Which is extremely stressful. I mean, that amount of bad taste in one car is, for Elise, is pretty bad.
And there is also a tiny little stove and a sink with a water source attached.
Like one of those
jerry can things.
Like, you know when you see those really, really pretty, ridiculously good, like, van life conversions on the internet? This is not that.
This is the basic, I did it for 500 quid version.
Oh, yes.
As it goes up on the two wheels, there's this moment where it's where Hunter is certain that Elise is going to tumble into his arms, and she careens off Marie, and Marie ends up falling into his arms instead, and that is deeply not cool.
Yeah, there's a bit of bitterness there, I think.
I think Dennis goes, Marie, what are you doing? Get off Hunter. I'm so sorry, Hunter.
So just to check, with all this drama in the back, are there actually any tentacles attacking us, or is it just the pure shoddiness of the van?
No, it's just the shoddiness of the van trying to make a fast getaway with too much weight and too many people in it. Because that's much funnier.
Just a single tentacle waving impotently in the car park.
I like the idea that everybody else dies in all the other factions, but the drama group just sits there getting more and more stressed by each other's incompetence.
And scene.
Hey, the global threat level goes up again.
Yep. So the only group that are not in a local threat level 1 location is now the drama group. So that's going to be 8 dice for most of the groups.
Yeah, it's going to be carnage next time.
This is fun.
This game might end very fast. I told you Tentacle City is just ridiculous fun. So good.
It's just like throwing characters into a mincer.
Yeah.
But you sort of, it's weird, you sort of like, yeah, just create characters that are sort of slightly unlikable. You don't care about any of them. And then as you play the interactions with all the other unlikable characters, you sort of get into it and you're like, oh, actually, I quite like this unlikable character.
It's true.
They've got hidden depths.
Oh, they're too relatable.
Yes. I don't want Joan Cray to die. I want her to live.
Joan is
going to
punch some tentacles.
She is a survivor and she deserves to win. I want to see a final group that has Joan and Simon in it.
Oh, Jesus.
I want to see Joan put a cigarette out on a tentacle.
It's going to be
love at first sight.
That's what I was thinking, Nick. They'll either try and kill each other or just end up fucking. And they'll be
amazing.
Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Escape from Tentacle City by Willow Polacek. You can find links to Escape from Tentacle City and to our stuff in the show notes. We also have a Discord, and we'd love it if you came out and hung out with us there. Finally, don't forget, we love your nomination for the Crit Awards. Deadline for that, 31st of May, so please get your nominations in as quick as you can. You can find the link to that also in the show notes. See you next time.
I've got some politics that we can all enjoy, though, which is the link that I just posted in the Slack channel earlier on this evening about Julian Assange.
Mm.
So some artist dude has got a load of people to lend him art, which he has like locked in a sealed vault with a corrosive chemical inside. And if Julian Assange ever dies in custody, he's going to like press a switch and destroy all of the art. And it includes like Picasso's and things like that. Not just his art, although it does include some of his art because he is himself a performance artist.
100% there are no Picassos in that room.
So the heist is to recover the art from the box.
Yeah, so I was like, is that not the starting scenario for a heist game where £45 million worth of art has been locked in a sealed vault with a corrosive chemical?
And if by Julian a performance Assange, artist.
And it's going to be like, Julian Assange is on his deathbed.
Yeah, and there's been a hit put out on
it's
Julian
an assassination
Assange.
Game, that's what it is. No, it's you not just fucking assassinate the person who has the button because he's not got a dead man switch, has he?
Yeah, well, I don't know how you just take dead man switch for that.
In our game,
maybe
he
has got a dead man switch, but it's like Julian Assange is on death's door. You've got max 8 hours to save the art. Go.
Surely that guy doesn't have any Picassos. He's got $450 million or whatever it is because he sold them all to...
I mean, I would think so, but he's apparently got mates who are gallery owners who are like, yeah, I'll do it for Julian Assange. And I was like, well, that sounds like a scam to me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, something went wrong and all the art accidentally got destroyed. There was a fault in the mechanism. Soz, everybody.
Yeah. Mm. It was definitely there, though.
I went to uni with Julian Assange. He was in my physics classes.
When you say that, you were actually in classes together.
Did you? Yeah, ever talk literally to him? Had physics classes together. Did I ever? He never talked to anyone.
Did he have long white hair even back then?
Yes.
As a child.
Well, it wasn't so long. He had white hair back then, and he never took notes.
Is he Australian?
Yeah. He never took notes. I don't think I knew he that. Never asked a question. As far as I recall, he never spoke to anyone in any of those classes. He just came in, sat down, listened.
Am I the only one who's getting chop?
I'm getting
choppy
chop.
Nick, yeah.
Choppy Nick.
Okay,
my Wi-Fi's garbage, sorry.
Can you go up and tell your children to stop streaming and watching videos at the same time, please? Maybe my children have hijacked your Wi-Fi as well as mine.
I think it might be my wife.
All right.
What the heck is
she's playing Roblox as well.
Yeah, probably. It's probably streaming two TV shows. And
right. You live in London, Nick. What the hell?
Yeah, I thought it was hot streaming internet in London.
Yeah, I thought it was hot internet action over there.
The streets are paved with NFTs.
The streets are paved with garbage because nobody collects the garbage anymore.
NFTs.
Well, I watched a great film the other day about racing, Nick. It's called Speed Racer and it's...
right, based on kids' TV show.
Based on a manga, and it's by the Wachowski sisters that they made after The Matrix.
Yes.
And
got
it's
panned.
Absolutely insane.
Is
yeah,
it?
It's just, but it's like a work of art. It's
it doesn't deserve.
I would highly recommend
it's fabulous.
It. Fabulous. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that movie and have loved that movie for a long time.
What is it on?
Well, Stu bought the DVD because he read about it and he was like, I really need to watch this. So
it was straight off The Matrix when they were given infinite budget to come up with something themselves, like a vanity project, yeah. I guess. And it didn't really pan out, did it?
Well, it was in development hell for like 20 years nearly.
Oh my God.
And like there were all kinds of directors attached to it. Right. Like according to Wikipedia, Gus Van Sant was attached
Blimey.
To it at some point.
That would have been a very
Vince
different
Vaughn
movie.
Got involved
Vince
at some point
Vaughn
as well.
Got involved.
I know, right?
What?
And then the Wachowskis got on board and they were like, okay, well, we're just going to, you know, make this pop art really hard to watch CGI Technicolor kind of
bonanza
art piece.
It's a non-stop visual assault.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's incredible. But it's all so intentional that you can't help but love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, it's so good.
Yep.
It's like Spy Kids on acid, honestly.
Sue Elliott. It's like Spy Kids on acid. 5 stars.
Would watch. Yeah, I haven't watched it in years. I really must watch it again.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
You'll also be pleased to know, Becky, since you posted your video clip, Maid Marian and Her Merry Men is on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. Not pleased to know about that.
Why did you not? I like
Amazon
it.
Amazon Prime, I boycott Amazon and they shouldn't have anything good, basically.
But they do.
I know, but I don't think they
just
should.
Just wear a false moustache, no one will know.
Saltburn.
Well,
they have saltburn.
That's what we do. But
we do wear a false moustache.
But I don't. The fact that they've got Maid Marian and Her Merry Men will surely mean more people give money to
the bears.
Yes, because the big draw for Amazon Prime membership is Maid Marian and Her Merry Men.
Well, yes.
Not any of the other shows that are more recent.
What name one show that's better?
Well, obviously I can't. But that's
there
because
you are.
I'm stuck in a fog of nostalgia over it, just like you.
It was, it made me really happy watching that clip. So thanks for that.
Sorry, I should probably say for the poor listeners that the clip that Ed is referring to is it's Pancake Day. Because it's Pancake Day, the day that we're recording this.
It's Pancake Day.
I also posted that on my work Slack, which many people were also grateful for.
I remember that I nearly wet myself the first time I heard that clip as a child, I hasten to add.
It's because it was so surprising that little bit of video effect was so unusual.
Yep. And then when Tony Robinson does it as well.
Yeah, exactly, at the end.
Anyway, I don't think there's time to analyse all the great things about Maid Marian and Her Merry Men.
No, it was so good, though.
Sadly.
Pinnacle of our childhood.
Separate session to do that, maybe?
Yeah. Maybe you need to write the role-playing game of Maid Marian.
Maid Marian and Her Merry Men, the role-playing game. I think that might be asking to be sued by Tony Robinson, which is something I quite like to have happen to me in some ways. But I probably shouldn't. Maybe I should write a game about being sued by Tony Robinson after writing Maid Marian and Her Merry Men, the role-playing game. That's probably meta enough that I'll get away with it.
Yeah, you get away with it, I'm sure.
What happened when you released History Dig Live? Did he just sort of send round some heavies just as a warning?
Well, we're not reprinting that, so...
What's this? You've had a legal fight with Tony Robinson?
No, we haven't had a legal fight with Tony Robinson.
But don't do that. Sue
was referring to the fact that I wrote Time Team, the role-playing game.
Oh, right.
But you didn't call it Time Team, the role-playing game.
No.
But it's harder to think of how you would brand Maid Marian and Her Merry Men, the role-playing game, if not by calling it Maid Marian and Her Merry Men. You could change everything except Maid Marian, and that's, I suppose that's a historical figure, isn't it? So you can't really... How do you sue? Maybe we could get away with it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can.
Fuck it.